today as we come to the table.
He wants them to know they're not going to be alone. By the way, how many of you feel alone today? You're not alone. You may feel alone, but I don't have any friends. And my marriage just fell apart, or whatever reason you have to think you're alone. Listen to me. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. If you know Jesus Christ, you will never be alone. You may feel that way sometimes, but we don't live our life as believers by feelings. We live by the reality and faith and the teaching of the Word of God. He said, I am with you and I will be with you always. You're not alone. How many of you need comfort this morning? He's going to talk about that as well. God will give you the comfort that you need, so you need to recognize that.
Often do you feel like you're facing this life and its struggles all alone? You know, for some, this past year with its social distancing and restrictions has only amplified that feeling. That loneliness, though, is an attack of the enemy, because God gave His Holy Spirit so that you would never face this life alone. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. You know, God created the church to be a body of believers working together and serving in various ways to bring Him glory. And as His body, His Spirit moves through and connects all of us. Even when you don't feel it, He's there. So don't buy into those feelings of isolation. Just trust in His promise to comfort and guide you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 15, as he shows us the work of the Holy Spirit.
John, chapter 15. We're getting into doctrine today about the Holy Spirit, so we don't want to go through that necessarily quickly. A lot of solid doctrine on the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, how He does it, and certainly not an exhaustive study on the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is going to be covering a lot of attributes of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to work through them this week and next week so that we know who it is we're dealing with in dealing with the Holy Spirit. So as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit, it's interesting. We're going to be seeing that He's a helper, and He's a comforter. There's going to be several different attributes that we see about the Lord. But one of the things that's interesting that really we're not going to talk about as much once we get into the body of the teaching, as I'll mention now, is really He's kind of the guy behind the scenes. If you want to think about the Holy Spirit, He's the guy behind the curtain, making sure that the whole production in your Christian life is going the right way. He's your guide, He's your helper, He's your leader, He's your comforter, He's everything in that sense. But He does not draw attention to Himself. And we'll talk about that today and see, again, some of the, abuses, and we're not going to get into much of that, but just to mention some of the abuses of the way the Holy Spirit is presented is not really who He is. And I know that He wants us to know who He is, how He operates, how He functions, and so that we can understand His work in our life better. And so we're going to see, as I said, not everything about the Holy Spirit today, but foundationally, many of His attributes. And the first thing I point out is something we've noted before, even in recent studies here, and that is He is a He. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not a force like Star Wars or something you can manipulate or tap into in that way. He's not a liquid. Although the Bible does say the Holy Spirit is poured out on us, it just means that God basically pours out His Spirit, His power on us. But He Himself is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a He. And that's huge foundationally in understanding who the Holy Spirit is and who we're dealing with as He works in our life. Again, He is part of the Trinity of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but His role is very different. Now, His main focus is to lift up Jesus. That's what He does, lift up the name of Jesus. And that's when oftentimes you see people that are speaking about the move of the Holy Spirit, they oftentimes lift up the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong in recognizing the Holy Spirit for who He is, but at the same time, The eyes are to be on Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's job is to turn our eyes to Jesus. Something we're going to get into next week, and that is you've often heard of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes I run across even believers that are afraid. Oh, no, maybe I can't go to heaven. I've committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. No, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is something very difficult, and basically there's only one way you can do that is if you reject Jesus Christ your whole life and then die. Why? His job is to bring us to Jesus, and if we don't allow him to bring us to Jesus, it is blasphemy. It is an insult to the Father. He says, I've given the earth my son to die for your sins. And you're going to just look me in the face and say, I don't want it. I don't want your son. I don't want what you've done for me on the cross. If that's the case, you'll be eternally condemned. But it's the only thing that will do that. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But his role is to turn our eyes to the Lord, to give help and comfort, to reveal biblical truth, to give power to the believer to walk with God and to do the work of God. So notice that. It's not just to give us power so that we can do the work of God, which we think about, I need God's power to do his work. It's so that we can walk with God. Listen, I need power to be able to walk the Christian life. How many of you guys? I know you do. You need the same power. We can't walk this Christian life without God. That's what the helper does. That's what the comforter does. And so, again, we'll see that as we get into this more today. And so notice, again, remember our setting here, where we are. John chapter 15, the Lord's final night with the disciples. He's teaching them. Some would argue that he's actually still in the upper room. I do not believe that because earlier we saw he said, let us get up and be going. I believe he headed on down before chapter 15. Lord, it's the end of chapter 14. Let us be going. No, not that kind of thing. But anyway, I believe it was before chapter 15 because he talks about the vine and he already told them they were going to leave. And I think he actually used the vineyards, if you will, to make that illustration and to teach them. So he's still teaching them either on the walk down there, or they're there sitting maybe by now, actually going through this. But he starts here in chapter 15, verse 26, and starts teaching them about the Holy Spirit because he's about to leave. And he wants them to know they're not going to be alone. By the way, how many of you feel alone today? You're not alone. You may feel alone, but I don't have any friends. And my marriage just fell apart, or whatever reason you have to think you're alone. Listen to me. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. If you know Jesus Christ, you will never be alone. You may feel that way sometimes, but we don't live our life as believers by feelings. We live by the reality and faith and the teaching of the Word of God. He said, I am with you and I will be with you always. You're not alone. How many of you need comfort this morning? He's going to talk about that as well. God will give you the comfort that you need. So you need to recognize that. And the disciples needed to recognize this. He was about to leave them physically. They're about to go through a lot more than probably any of us in this room ever will. And they needed to know they were not alone. They needed to have that comfort. And so we need to have that as well. And so now he begins this teaching about the Holy Spirit. And notice he says in verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, note this, he will testify of me. Now, although this is at the end of the verse, I want to point this out first. The first thing the Lord says the Holy Spirit will do, he will testify of Jesus. Why is that so important? Because there are so many wrong teachings about the work of the Holy Spirit and how he moves in the believer's life. And there's so many things even within the church that are not accurate about how the Holy Spirit works. And again, you've seen this before, and I know there are some good Bible teachers on TV. I recognize that. I'm not saying they're all bad. But it seems like for some reason there's a lot of guys on TV that are really bad. And so I'm just going to say it. And a lot of times they really misrepresent the Holy Spirit. And some of them, maybe you've seen, of course, over the years I've seen it. I really haven't watched it recently, so I don't know what's on there now. But my guess is, because of what I saw in the past, that it hasn't changed that much because Satan uses the same tactics that he wants to deceive us and trick us. And I want to say this. I think sometimes maybe some well-meaning Christians don't understand really how the Holy Spirit works. And so there's some abuses there as well. And it may be the group they grew up in or the way they were brought up, but they weren't really taught about the things Jesus is teaching us here. But you'll see all kinds of things where they're like, take the Holy Spirit supposedly and throw it on people, and entire sections will fall down. You can't grab God and throw him at somebody. You can't do that. And I don't mean to be flippant. I'm being very honest, but I'm speaking very truthfully. I've seen them blow on people and people fall over and all this. That is nowhere found in Scripture. It is very sensational. It draws a big crowd. And if I start doing it, we would grow. We would grow as a church if I started doing real, you know, demonstrative, whatever, because a crowd is drawn to a good show. But you have to understand, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he's not here to do a show. He's here to show Jesus and to point the eyes to the Lord. And so he will testify, he says here, of me. That is, when he comes, he's going to talk about me all the time. So if you want to know, is God really moving by the power of his Holy Spirit, you're going to see that Jesus is the one being lifted up. Jesus is the one being talked about, not the Holy Spirit. Now, again, that doesn't mean we ignore the Holy Spirit. He's God. And somebody asked me, was it Wednesday? I don't remember. They said, hey, is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? The answer to that is yes, but that's not our focus. Let me explain. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one. To say, you know, to say, Holy Spirit, help me at this moment is not sin. To say, Jesus, I need you right now is not sin. But Jesus said this, we're to pray to the Father. In general, he said, pray to the Father. But we also pray to him because he and the Father are one, and we can ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. So you're not wrong by praying to any of them, but our main focus is not to pray to the Holy Spirit all the time. Our main focus is to pray to the Father and to pray to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that is the helper. He's the one, again, as I said, behind the scenes, turning eyes to the Lord and being the one that's our support. And so now we get to really the first thing it mentions in the verse, although I mentioned first the fact that it'll testify of Jesus, because I think that's a huge foundation. But notice that the first of the verse, who he says the Holy Spirit is, he is our helper. And why a helper? Because God knows we need one. The wife is called to be the helper of the husband. And ladies, how many of you know that your husband needs a helper? I think that's pretty evident. But what's neat for the church is we're the bride of Christ, but it's different. We have a helper as well as the bride of Christ, and it's the Holy Spirit. He helps us. Guys, we need help. How many of you this morning need help in some situation? Right now, you need help. Right now. I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit is here right now to help you. This isn't a pep talk. It isn't drama. It isn't to make you feel better. Now, it'll do all those things, make you feel better, and it'll build you up, but it's a reality. He says, this is Jesus' word, not mine. I'm going to help you. So if you need help, what do? Ask him. Lord, I need help right now. I need help this morning. He will be your helper, and he will give you what you need in the midst of it. And so the first thing that I love about this, he is our helper. Now, it comes from the word, it actually is the word paraclete, which comes from two words, para. We talk about para alongside. So paraclete might be another way to say it, but we pronounce it paraclete. And then the other is clete is comfort. So you have the helper who's the paraclete. It means helper or one who is a comforter. And that's where we get the other word that's used for the Holy Spirit. The paraclete is the comforter. And while these two words are by no means all-encompassing, they have the basic foundation of what the Holy Spirit does. Again, foundationally, we know he points to the Lord, but when it comes to our life, he's our helper and he's our comforter. So that's why if you need help, you cry out to him today. God will give you help. If you need comfort, how many of you need comfort this morning? Isn't comfort something we need on a regular basis? Man, I mean, I need to be comforted all the time. I need God's comfort. I need God's strength. It's amazing. When I have God's help and God's comfort and God's encouragement, I can do anything. When I don't sense that, I feel like I can't do anything at all. And yet he's always there. But if we need that comfort, God, give me that comfort. I need it. And there's probably many different reasons some of you need comfort this morning. Ask him. You promised Jesus. You said you would give the comforter. Give him to me. I need the comforter. And so I love that. And this is amazing to me. Notice the next thing here in the verse, really the third thing we're looking at, because I kind of reversed the verse around, but he says he was sent by the Father. That is, he's a gift sent by Jesus, literally. He said, I shall send to you from the Father. He's not only sent by the Father, he's sent from the Father. Let me correct that. But it's Jesus that does the sending by the agency of the Father. In other words, get this. What he's saying is, I'm very, very personally involved with your relationship to the Holy Spirit. See, I like that. It's very exciting to me. Why? Because in my mind, I kind of have corporate office, right? And we all get in and we're suddenly all in there and we're just in the kingdom of heaven and the Spirit, you come in and whoom, everybody gets the Spirit and we're all together. And while that's true and while we're all family and a part of it, this doesn't give a picture of suddenly we're just into this big thing and we're number 5,692.1 or whatever. And here we are and we get our whatever. No, he's saying, look, I'm going to the Father and I'm going to say, Father, Mark needs a helper and he needs a comforter. And so I'm going to ask that you send Mark, the Holy Spirit. It's not just this blanket Holy Spirit, although he's for all believers. He's saying, I want Mark to have him. So would you send him, Father? Absolutely. I mean, put your name in there. What this is giving a picture of in the language is that Jesus went before the throne of heaven and to the Father mentioned you by name and said, I want you now to send your Spirit to them, to that person. If that's not intimate, guys, there's nothing that is. That is intimacy. And I love the intimacy the Lord shows with us. Matter of fact, back when we covered the being filled with the Holy Spirit, the way that John the Baptist said it was being baptized in the Spirit, the way that Jesus said it was being baptized in the Spirit. But some people, for some reason today, have a problem with that phraseology. I don't. It's biblical. But whatever you want to call it, being filled with the Spirit, being baptized with the Spirit, whatever you want to say, Jesus said this, I reserve that right to myself. That was mine. We're going to do two baptisms this year. We do a couple every year. And what happens is that we usually have, you know, a good group of people that show up. I mean, usually it's somewhere at least around 15 people. Sometimes we've had as many as 20 and above show up to be baptized at both of these events. So I have somebody baptizing with me, you know, and they'll come out in the water and we baptize together, you know, and especially some of you guys, I get these guys that are giants and are way bigger than me. And I'm like, you know, I need somebody to help me get them back out of the water, you know. And so we'll be out there doing baptisms and we'll usually take turns. I'll say, okay, I've got this one coming out, you know, Julie coming out, can you take this one, you take Joe coming out, and we take turns, you know, so to speak, back and forth baptizing so we can be a part of it, pray over them, and share this experience. But sometimes there are people that say, Pastor Mark, I really want Travis to baptize me, or Pastor Mark, I want you to baptize me, and they name some event, because this, that, whatever, and so we do that, but here's exactly what the picture is Jesus is saying when it comes to being baptized in the Spirit. He says this, when they come out in the water, that one's mine. Jesus, he specifically said, I'm going to do the baptism of the Spirit. That's something I'm going to do. And we saw that earlier in John, where he says, that's a right I reserve to myself. What did John say? There's going to be one that's going to baptize you with water. He said, but there's one coming after me. That is, John the Baptist can baptize in water. Any pastor can baptize in water. He said, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. And that was Jesus. He reserves that right to himself, which means he went to the Father, take your name, put it in there. I'm good. This is, I want you to send the Holy Spirit to, fill in the blank, and they're mine. They're mine. We're not going to mass baptize. We're not going to take 100 people at once and go, no, I'm doing it one by one. Mark, step up here. And Jesus baptized me in the Spirit. And he brought you up. He baptized you in the Spirit. And he wants to do that for every believer. Now, we're all brought into the body of Christ when we give our life to the Lord. The Spirit indwells us. We know that. But receiving that power and that infilling, you say, Lord, I want to be empowered. I want to be infilled. It is a very personal, intimate between you and the Lord and the water of the Spirit, and God's just pouring out on you. And that's what God wants to do and what God does. So you can't lose, and I don't want you to lose the intimacy of what he says right here. This is very, very intimate. It's very, very one-on-one, and it's just very, very personal. It's exciting. I mean, you're not just a number. You are created by him. Everything about you, he knows. He's dealing with everything in your life, every detail. He's the one to baptize you. He's the one to commission you. He's the one to make sure you get into the kingdom of God. He's the author and finisher of your faith, the beginning and the end, the one that's going to have a place for you forever at his table. He knows where you're going to be, who you're going to be, how you're going to serve, everything about you forever. Is that cool or what? That's the God you serve. And so I feel sorry for anybody else that doesn't serve this God. Not just because they're lost, but because they don't know the intimacy that we know. I had somebody come up after first service and say, I heard somebody talking about what's going on in the world. All this stuff is happening and all these, you know, events around the globe or whatever. He said immediately, it was like, he didn't say it was the Holy Spirit, but I know it was the Holy Spirit spoke to him because he said immediately, I knew at that moment, you know what? They don't know because the Bible says the world won't understand what's going on. He said, but you, my disciples, you'll know and you'll have comfort. He said, I knew what was going on. I have comfort. I have peace. Lord, thank you for showing me what's happening. That's the God we serve. We're a part of the family. We're on the in. We hear the behind-the-scenes stuff. And so this is what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals it to us. Man, I can't wait for next week. I wish we could have gotten there today, but we're going to look a little bit at Isaac and Abraham and the whole bride that's brought and all the stuff to go. There's some really cool stuff. So anyway, let's get stay focused, Mark. Stay focused. Notice again here, thirdly, or next he says, what else is he? Not only is he sent by the Father, notice he says he's the Spirit of truth. Aren't you glad to know that the Holy Spirit will tell us the truth? How many people are looking for truth today? Everybody. And yet, how many people really have it? Oh, everybody thinks they have truth. Everybody has their philosophy about what truth is. I left this morning, and I'll probably, again, say the wrong name of this book. If I'd known I was going to use it, I would have jotted it down somewhere, and I'm sure my daughter will tell me when I get home I said it wrong. But when I left this morning, I noticed one of my girls' college books on the counter, and it said something like this, philosophy, the search for truth, or something to do with truth and philosophy. And I remember noticing that, not paying attention because I didn't know I was going to use it in the teaching, but walking out the door going, isn't that interesting? And as I began to look, we're again reminded that Jesus said, I'll give you the Spirit of truth. The world is looking for truth. And they're looking for truth everywhere, in every religion, in everything, in every tree, in every rock. What is the truth? I'm trying to find the truth. And Jesus said, note this, he didn't say, I have the truth. He said what? I am the truth. Is that exciting? He is truth embodied. And he said, now the Holy Spirit's going to take one of mine and give it to you. He's going to give you the truth and tell you the truth, because the Spirit of truth will reveal the truth to you. So it's exciting to know that we have that and we don't have to search. There's no searching going on other than reading the Bible and praying. You have the truth right in front of you. And our job is simply to believe it and then share it with others. And then lastly, as we said, we already covered, he'll testify of me. Notice verse 27, he says, and this is great. Look at this. It's not just the Holy Spirit is a witness to the world. We are. Look at verse 27. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. In other words, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness. He is a witness to the world, but we are witnesses as well. Now think about this. The Holy Spirit is the world's witness. Literally, there's nowhere the Holy Spirit can't go. He's everywhere. The jungles of Africa, the darkest places of North Korea, where things of God are so oppressed, wherever you want to go, he's there. He even says this. He says in Romans chapter 1 that even if they don't hear the name of Jesus, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show them God by nature itself. I'll reveal God to them through creation, which means no one will have excuse on judgment day. Some of us will have more knowledge than others, but everyone, it says, will know there's a God and that we're accountable to him. How? The Holy Spirit is witnessing to the entire world. He's the world's witness. He convicts everyone. Again, we'll get into more detail next week about what that means and how he convicts and what he convicts over. But the bottom line is that he's not only the witness for the Lord, you are. What he's saying is yes, God will send the Holy Spirit, but you're going to bear witness as well. You've met me. You know me. Tell people about me. What makes you think you know the truth? I've met the truth. That's why. You may not believe it, but I know the truth because I know him. And he belongs to me and I belong to him. And I want you to know about him. And so you're witnesses to the Lord. It's very encouraging. And what a great privilege. It's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. And so now we come to chapter 16. And by the way, don't be stumbled by, I know we kind of did a verse, a couple of verses before, now getting into 16. The chapters and the verses were added by people later. They were not a part of the original manuscript. That's so we can find our way around the Bible. And it actually flows better, I think, starting in verse 26. But either way, now we come to 16, verse 1. He keeps on going. And notice what he says. These things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Now, he's about to share a lot of things they're going to face here that are very, very life-changing for them. Things that are going to be very hard and very difficult, and things that are going to come at a great cost. And so knowing they're going to have great difficulties and a great cost in walking with the Lord, he wants to make sure they don't stumble. Guys, note this. The only thing you stumble over is something you don't see in advance. You're walking through the house and it's dark, or you're going somewhere and you don't see what's there, whatever, you stumble, right? Because why? You didn't see it. But Jesus is doing this. He says, I want you to know as my followers, if I tell you in advance you're going to have some hard times following me, you won't stumble when it happens. You're going to go, you know what? This is exactly what the Lord said would happen. I think one of the greatest detriments we can do to any believer, a new believer, say, you know what? Everything's going to be great for you now. You gave your life to the Lord. Everything's going to be great. Never worry about it. Just God's going to take care of all your problems. Really? How many of you walked with the Lord any length of time? Your problems don't go away. You just have a helper and a comforter, right? As a matter of fact, as believers, oftentimes the problems get worse because now your family rejects you, your friends reject you, the world rejects you, and the enemy's attacking you. Now, I'm not trying to talk you out of Christianity, but I think we need to be sober about the Christian walk. It doesn't mean that everything is great all the time. What it means is you need to know what you're doing when you sign up. When you sign up, you're going to have spiritual warfare. You've got all these things that are happening, but here's what you get. Well, then why would I do it? Why would I sign up for something that's going to make my life harder? Here's why. You get heaven forever, and they don't.
While we're wrapping up our time at the table of God's Word for today, your time in the Bible doesn't have to. In fact, we'd like to encourage you to keep reading. There's so much to learn about Jesus and his love for you and for the world. If you missed any part of this broadcast, or if you want to hear it again, you can by visiting PastorMarkKirk.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast too. That way you'll never miss an episode. You can also join us on Facebook to get the latest information on that day's broadcast, along with some inspiration and encouragement for your news feed. There's a link for that too at PastorMarkKirk.com. Now, before we close, let's hand it back over to Pastor Mark one more time.
I'm glad you took the time to join me today to study the Gospel of John. It's such an incredible testimony of Jesus' ministry here on earth.
I hope you've been blessed, and I know I've been blessed teaching it. I'd like to ask you a favor as well. Would you commit to praying during this study through John? Please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead people to this program so that they can find hope in Jesus. And pray that they'd have open ears and soft hearts. I know the message of Jesus can transform lives and heal brokenness, but not if they never hear it. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. And thanks for joining me today and every day that we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.